Let's take our Bibles and look together in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And let's read from verse 43 down to verse 50. However, we'll probably just get through to verse 48 today in this message. But consider together a lesson on true discipleship. You say a lesson. Yes, a lesson, because the school of discipleship, you never graduate. That might be a surprise to you, but it means to be a learner, a disciple, a learner. I pray that we're always learning of Him every time we gather, but even when we're not gathered, learning of Him. He teaches His own through His Word, but also through how He directs our path. And that's the amazing thing, that He can lead His flock like a shepherd over a broad range. You think about around the world where all His sheep are, and directing the path of each one and never losing a one of them. That's the shepherd. But how we need to learn of Him, the more we learn of ourselves and our weaknesses as sheep, the more we learn of our need of Him. I had a friend a long time ago said, beware of following the sheep that's in front of you. Sometimes you get your eyes on other sheep, looking at them, and both of you together wander off. Now, eyes on the shepherd. To be a disciple, a learner, is to learn of Him. Don't worry about the sheep on the right or left or behind you. Eyes on Him. We see that here in Luke 9 and verse 43. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. We saw last time that was in the healing of this boy that was taken with a demon, the father seeking the Lord on his behalf. So they were all amazed. There was a crowd that ran and wondered. And someone brought up afterward in verse 42 a beautiful picture of salvation as it is in Christ. And I've got to mention it. This is where, as I'm preaching many times, the Lord will direct your thoughts to something even clearer. And I love it when you come up to me and tell me this. But you notice the way of salvation, verse 42. First, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child. By His stripes, we are healed. That's how the Lord did it in His life and in His death. But here's the beautiful thing, the last part of verse 42, and delivered him again to his father. That's what Christ has done with every one of those sons of Adam that He came to save. He's delivered them by His stripes, they're healed. And what? Delivered them up again to His father. His father. And they're all amazed. That is the crowds around at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, He said unto His disciples, His learners, those in whom He had put His spirit, let these sayings sink down into your ears. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Takes the spirit. For the Son of Man shall be delivered in the hands of men. Get all enthralled about these miracles. There's no salvation in a miracle. There were many that were healed physically that were left to their own reprobate minds. The 10 lepers that the Lord healed, but one came back, bowed down to thank Him. Where's the healing? The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. He points them to Himself, to His death. Verse 45, but they understood not this saying. Sound like some of us? We're here to learn, but there's a lot we don't understand. Even Peter said that about Paul's writings. Inspired word. He said, in them are many things hard to understand. It was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask Him of that saying. That's the pride of heart. We'd be afraid to ask. A soul that the Lord is teaching isn't afraid to ask. But in pride, we think, well, I got enough. I'm good. And here's why. Verse 46, they were too busy arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest? Following the sheep in front of you. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Talk about a lesson contrary to what we think. He that is least among you all, the same shall be great. John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. Here again, eyes on others. Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. We'll look at that next time. But let's consider this lesson on true discipleship. And here's the first. There's a number in this, but here's the first that I see, and that is in verse 43. Not all who follow Jesus are his disciples. In modern day evangelism, so-called, if you find some preachers with this situation in verse 43 where there was a healing and a crowd, they're all excited. Boy, the Lord's at work. Isn't this great? There's a great movement afoot. How many times have you heard that? Revivals going on all around the world. People getting saved every day. Based on what? Numbers. Based on the preacher's assessment. Based on how the leader describes it. And if you're blind and your leader's blind, which Christ said is the case, the blind lead the blind and both follow into the ditch, they're going to take your word for it. Who's that leading up there? Imagine being blind. Oh, he's saying he's got the clear way ahead, so let's follow him. We're going to hear his voice. Follow him. Both end up in the ditch. It's not by the numbers. By today's standards, Noah would have had to have been judged as a failure. What? In a whole world, only 8? And then you know how people reason. They shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, God's left it up to man's free will. He's not going to. They don't even read that it was the Lord that brought them into that boat 2 by 2. And then told Moses, get in because I'm about to shut the door. There was a lot of room in that ark, but there weren't any vacancies. Everyone was saved that the Lord purposed. But you talk about judging a preacher as a failure. What about our Lord Jesus Christ? He said, smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter. That when they hung him on that cross, those sheep had run for their lives. And that's what the enemy wanted. They were going to kill this thing right at the inception. And yet in doing their will, that's why even Christ said here, let this sink down into your ears. It's not by popularity. It's not by all this crowd you see here. We even judge the Lord's dealings that way because we get a big crowd out and we think, oh man, the Lord's at work. What if there's only just one and you were that one? If all the rest of the world had been righteous but you, it would have still taken the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same death, same bloodshed to redeem your soul. See, that's why the Lord said here, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered in the hands of men. What's the most vital asset right now that we have in gathering together as a body is to hear of Christ and Him crucified, whether there's a big number or not. And now it'll be nearly 20 years that I've been preaching the gospel here in Shreveport this year. It's hard to believe. And I've seen size grow like an accordion. I've seen it go all the way down. I've seen it come back up. I've seen it go down. Doesn't matter. You know, even now, say, how do you know who are the Lord's and who aren't? That's not mine to judge. The Lord knows those that are His. But I know as long as I stand here and He gives me breath and strength and a mind, I've got to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and His death and what He suffered, because nothing else matters for eternity, now or eternity. So let this saying sink down into your ears. He doesn't point them to a miracle. He points them to Himself. The Son of Man shall be delivered. Not might be. You know, things are getting to where we got to be careful now. Everybody grab a sword. No, He shall be. This is what God the Father's purpose, because that's how He's purposed the salvation of His people. But not all who follow Jesus. That's a popular name today. If you don't believe it, just take the internet and go and search the internet and put in the name Jesus of Nazareth if you want to, or whatever. It comes up there how many websites or mentions there are. It's amazing. It's in the millions. It's the name Jesus is popular. But just because someone takes and calls themselves Christian or puts it on the building, you know, Christ Church, really, that's a pretty bold statement there. Not all are His disciples. You see in verse 43 here, the little word B-U-T, but. That's a contrast. I remember that from English literature. And is a conjunction, and but is there's a contrast about ready to hit here. All of these were amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus what? Did, he said unto his disciples. What is it that we need more than anything is to hear a word from the Lord. Do you believe that? Yeah, this world is looking for something he did. Show me what he did. Even the Pharisees said, if you truly are the Messiah, prove it by a sign. Do something. That's what he did. And John, at the end of his gospel, said this, many other things the Lord did that and said, if the world, if the books were written, the world could not contain it. But these are written, what? That you might believe. Written. Word. The Word. What do we need more desperately than anything to hear this morning? It's the Word of the Lord. Is that what you came to hear? Word from the Lord? I pray so. But that but right there, while they wondered, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings, let this Word, not Ken's word, but trying to figure out how I phrased a certain thing. People ask me that. I've got notes here, but I hardly follow them. It's in here. It's from the head, to the heart, to the head, to the mouth. There's a process that goes on in preaching. Kind of look at this to give guidance, but that's not what's important. It's not how Ken phrased it. It's what this word says. And I'm one of those, I still got to learn. You know, if the Lord's going to deal with the heart of any one of the sinners, it's going to be through this word right here. The more I can point us, not just you, but me, to this word. And it let it sink down into your ears. It's not talking about just physical ears. It's talking about the heart. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And what's the one saying? It's the whole gospel is summed up in verse 44. The Son of Man shall be delivered in the hands of men. Do you think that as a disciple you've got that figured out? I truly believe that if we studied no other subject for the rest of our lives from Genesis to Revelation except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we could never exhaust it. In fact, I don't believe even in a glorified state in heaven we'll ever exhaust it, because that throng around that throne night and day ceases not to sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And you want to figure out who's a disciple and who isn't. It's not by how much we understand, because it's an infinite subject. If that were the case, we wouldn't read here in verse 45, they understood not the same. I plead guilty. As much as I think I know, coming back to it, the truth doesn't change, but how the Lord's pleased to teach me does. And bring me to bow again and again to see there's nothing else that's vital. Paul said that. He was the most well-trained in the languages, original languages of anybody. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel, knew the law inside and out, before the law blameless, in his own eyes, before his peers. But he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you know the naysayers, they say, well, you're going to run out of material pretty quickly then, if that's all you're preaching on. That's a blind person speaking there. Or as I've had some say, is all you can preach is Christ, Christ, Christ? What? Is there any other word? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh. How does God speak? But through His Son. That's why this is vital right here. While this whole crowd was running around, marveling at the miracles and everything He did, here's this little group of motley. And that's the word that's used there in verse 43, disciples, learners. I think of a chief physician walking around in a hospital floor doing his on tour with all these patients where there's life and death decisions being made, and he's got a group of learners following him. And he's testing them. He's not leaving them to themselves. This is life and death. If that's life and death, how much more so what we're about right now? So mark that down. Not all who follow Jesus are his disciples. Not all who say, Lord, Lord. Many shall say, he said, in that day, Lord, Lord. But in the end, he said, I never knew you. Over in John chapter 2, in verses 23 to 25. Same context. There was a fame that went abroad as far as who Christ is. And he spoke there about the temple. They were all enthralled with the temple, but he cleaned it out. And he said in verse 19, John 2 and verse 19, he answered and said unto them, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. You can imagine them all chuckling now. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. He's talking about Herod adding on to it. And wilt thou rear it up again in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body, When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples, that's the word there, remembered what? That he had said this unto them. It's not what you see him doing, it's what he said. But I'll tell you, it's in his time too. Were they any less disciples of his because they didn't remember? Or they were ignorant? Can you imagine? Would you want your eternal destiny to be based upon how well you can understand the infiniteness of God and Christ and his death and what he accomplished? Even with what we know, if that were the basis, he'd have to cast us into eternal darkness. But it's in the Lord's time. They remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed what? The scripture. Which means it was already foretold. When it says the scripture, what scripture are they talking about? The Old Testament. Not like a preacher told me one time, well, there's no gospel in the Old Testament. Well, you've got a poor gospel then. And you got another Bible. They believed the scripture and, or even, the word which Jesus had said. There's no contradiction between the Christ of the new and the Christ of the old. In the old, Christ is concealed. In the new, he's revealed. Concealed in type, picture, promise, and type. In the new, revealed. The old promised, the new fulfilled. There's a beautiful harmony in what we're looking at here. One Bible. Notice scripture. They believe the scripture. We say scriptures, but it's one theme. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast days, many believed in his name. See, here's where you got supposed believers. That's why that term doesn't mean anything today. Are you a believer? Yeah, I believe I like McDonald's. I believe I like fries. I believe the sun's up. What are you talking about? There were many, it says here, that even believed in his name. Isn't there a difference between believing in his name and believing on his name? That little difference of resting on his name, his character, and who he is. But here it says in what sense they believed in his name. Not by what he said, because it says when they saw the miracles which he did. That's what they were after. Show us some more. You'll get a crowd. If you want to fill the stadium, start talking about miracles and signs and healing and wonders and all these things. Yet Paul said in the latter days, all of that will be through the deception of Satan himself. But it says God having caused them to believe a lie. Lest they should believe what? The truth. People believe. The world's full of believers, but not true disciples. Not all who follow are his. That's why we read here in verse 24. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all. Men is in Italia. He knows all and needed not that any should testify of man. Boy, isn't that something today? Everybody like, let's hear a testimony. You got a testimony? Why don't you stand up and talk about Jesus? People talk all day long about how much they believe they know him, but here it says he did not commit himself unto them. I'll tell you, if you want to get thinking before the Lord, oh, to be known of him. That's all that matters. That this mouth be shut before him, that he know me as I am. Not with any pretense or outward form of some sort of religious righteousness. I have none. Naked before him, for he knew what was in man. You know, some people, that scares them, but I'm thankful he does. He knows me just as I am. And yet, as I believe this word, it's for such that he came in this world to save. You won't find any true Pharisees and pretenders among the disciples. For years I pretended because I knew what people expected. You know, so you put on that front and you're out there trying to impress them I'm the Lord's and I'm growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, all this stuff. But if the Lord ever strips that mask off of you and you're made to lay naked before him, you never pick up those clothes again. Blind Bartimaeus, when the Lord called him, he cast off that beggar's robe and ran to him. There's no pretense among the Lord's people because we know there's nothing in us. That's like being in a leprosy colony and one leper feeling like, well, I'm a little cleaner than you are. There's a reason we're all here. Because we're lepers by nature. Ought to be seen of that. But that's important here in verse 43. But while they wondered. Now here's the second lesson on true discipleship. All right here in verse 44 of my text, Luke 9. And that is that discipleship is Christ drawing his own to himself. Back in the days of religion, I was taught how to have discipleship classes. Someone show a little bit of interest. Okay, let's put you in this class. We're meeting. The next class starts on next day and we're meeting once a week. Our discipleship class. And when you got done, you got a certificate. It was like, okay, you're good. Good to go. It's folly. Now, notice here in verse 43, he said unto his disciples. That's what it is to be known of him. And what is he doing? But drawing them aside. Here's this whole crowd out there. It's not in the crowd. He said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Has Christ ever pronounced a vain word to one of his own? Now, it may not happen immediately like we think. Well, if the Lord spoke it, there's a teaching. It's just like in our own minds and hearts. How does teaching take place? It's a process. There's a learning, and then there's a continual learning, and then a continual learning. Because we forget. That's why when I read this here in Luke 9:45, they understood not this saying. It's just for now. The Lord sowed the seed, yeah, but that seed didn't get lost. Just like we read over in John chapter 2. After his resurrection, then remembered they the scripture. That's when he purposed that they remember. Just like over there in Luke chapter 24. We're in Luke, but go and look in Luke 24. There's where it took place. This is how it is. Discipleship is Christ drawing the sinner to himself. It's the only way he'll be drawn. There's a dear lady on Facebook. I don't know how I got into one of these. Someone signed me up for one of these chat things. I've been reading it, and it's just horrible. But there's one lady in there that continues. This has been going on for weeks, and I've just been reading her comments and then people's to her. She's a desperate sinner looking for answers. She sees herself as abhorrent to God, unworthy even of his grace. And as early as this morning when the Lord woke me up and I opened it up and looked at it, she was saying, you know, if God would send me to hell, he'd be just. And you would not believe the number of people responding to her and saying, don't be thinking that way. God's a God of love. Here's what you need to do. And for the first time, the Lord directed me to write a word. I was prayerful. I didn't just want to throw it in the mix and to point her to Christ. In fact, I liked her statement, which was a shock to everybody. Why would you like that? Because it describes how this sinner the Lord taught and made me a true disciple. He drew me. I didn't come to him. I wouldn't even seek him. But I know when he shows a sinner that they're lost, and that word means totally unable to find their way back, shut up if need be to the very wrath of God, that if he didn't pay my debt, that's all that remains is God's wrath, and to own it. And I said, wait on the Lord. So all I said, look to Christ, but wait on the Lord. I gave her Psalm 130. I also gave her Luke 19:10, just scripture, because I knew if the Lord's going to do a work, it'd be the scripture. This is a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into the world, what? To save, to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know, you can go out there if you're on that chat, I don't recommend it, but I have become now the object of derision by all of these others. You talk about and I use the word in a spiritual sense, a gang rape. This one boldly declared, no, don't wait on the Lord. You must repent. You must believe. You must trust Christ. But you know what? Try telling a dead person that. By what power? Even these, the disciples, if that were the determining factor, can you imagine that Christ would say to them, now I've taught you all I can, now the rest is up to you. You better understand. If he didn't give them understanding. And that's why I want you to see over here in Luke 24, at what point will a disciple learn? It's when the Christ by his Spirit is pleased to draw. And here on the road to Emmaus, if you read this and did not have the whole context, you would write these off by today's standard. You'd say these were unconverted. Because over here in Luke 24, this one named Cleopas, verse 18, Christ came along and said, what are you talking about? But verse 16 says their eyes were whole, that they should not know him. And they go right back at him. Art thou only, verse 18, a stranger in Jerusalem, has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? You think about how foolish our words have been before the Lord, even when we think we know stuff, questioning him, questioning his word. That's our sin. That's that pride of this flesh, that somehow we think ourselves more discerning than even what this word says about matters. They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Notice the tense, which was a prophet. They were no more expecting to be face to face with Christ at this moment than anybody. Again, why? Their eyes were holding. Were they any less the Lord's at that moment? No. See, that's the thing. Discipleship. When will we learn again? Now, I heard somebody say, well, if the Lord just could just open our minds and hearts and just teach us all at once. Well, you couldn't bear it. Neither could I. Christ said that to his disciples. There are many things I have to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Let's just take it one at a time here. How the chief priests, verse 20, and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Everything they said, except for the little word was, is a true statement. So that means they were retaining the facts. And I'll tell you, that's how the Lord dealt in my heart. I had the facts. I go back and look at some of my notes. I've got an old dingy notebook from way back. I start looking at the notes and I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. That sounds right. But you know what? It's the form of godliness without the power. When it pleased God to reveal Christ in me, I was no longer defending election as a doctrine. Suddenly, I saw that I was but that sinner by God's grace from eternity that the Father had put in the hands of a living Savior. Well, I'll tell you, you talk about being humbled. Suddenly, it's not the doctrine, it's the person. I came into the knowledge of the so-called doctrines of grace. I morphed into it. It sounded logical. For years, the Lord let me preach on particular redemption. I even remember at the time saying, that's not definite atonement, it's not limited atonement. Let's go with a more particular word, particular redemption. I was proud of that. But oh, to see a particular redeemer. And again, had everybody else been cast into hell, I would have needed him in that work, in that death, for me, even if nobody else he'd paid the debt to save. I'll tell you, when the Lord opens your eyes, it moves from just fact and truth to his person. And that's what we see going on here. They had it right. Now, at least had they known they were before the Lord, they might have put this a different way. See, that's where hypocrisy sets in. They said, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Well, you talk about giving up all hope. Trusted is in the past tense. It's like we're no longer trusting. Here again, the Lord's going to teach you to be his disciple. It's not you holding him, it's him holding you. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. The answer was right there, but they're not going to put the connection together between his death and his resurrection, because Christ said, 3 days and three nights, he'd be in the earth and rise again. Yea, verse 22, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. You know, talk about staring the truth in the face, hearing this testimony, and yet there's still verse 16. You know, you might blame all you want to, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him yet, is the point. When will a disciple learn? Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. Verse 24, certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. When did those see him that saw him? Again, when it pleased Christ to reveal himself. He didn't go around, you think about his public ministry, but when he rose from the grave, he went around revealing himself to his own in his time. Then, verse 25, he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Is there anybody here that won't plead guilty? What is our number one problem? It's this flesh. It's the darkness of our understanding, even now.
Yet,
ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But even then, same things we have back here in Luke 9, they understood not. Here's the Lord himself teaching them. Was he a failure? No, he had his time. He was directing even in this. It's the shepherd who draws the sheep. And as they sat at meat with him, verse 30, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. I like the way that was put. He was in their house, but he sat at meat with them and took bread, blessed it, break, and gave it to them. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And you can continue to read on, but verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, there was something going on, but what? And while he opened to us the scriptures. That's when we'll see. That's when we'll know. It's the Lord doing the drawing. It's not by our will. It's not by our righteousness. It's not even by our understanding. Thank God. Because I'm here to learn, aren't you? I take this word, I pray, God teach me. Every time I sit at that desk or mine at home or driving down the road, Lord, be my teacher. Open my eyes that I may see, behold these things. We're going to leave it there for now. Time is gone, but think about this. In this lesson of discipleship, we're going to see what comes here in verse 46 and following. But it's just simply this. Discipleship is contrary to man's thoughts. Everything about this gospel is going to turn us upside down. Well, actually, I should say right side up, because the fall turned us upside down. And you get used to living upside down. You think that's the only way to live. The Lord's got to turn us right side up. The way up is down. That's contrary to men's thinking. Greatness, even as the Lord said over here, is by leastness. He that is least among you all, the same shall be great. That's the school of discipleship. And the picture of the little child, we want to come back to that. Strength through weakness. That goes contrary to what we think. Growth in grace is actually a growth in a greater understanding of our sin. Just the opposite of what men say. Well, if you're growing in grace, you're going to be sinning less and less. I beg your pardon. You don't need grace where there's no sin. That would logically mean that by growing in grace, I need, and I'm sinning less and less, that would mean I need less grace. But growing in grace, the more I learn of him, that light shine on this depraved heart, the more I see just how needy a sinner I am. May the Lord continue to be our teacher.